Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Fort Bragg's backyard, this is the show that put the 110 Nation on the map. There is only one nation, the 110 Nation, and you're listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show. Covering each and every sport across the board. There is no sport too large or too little. It's time to talk the talk. Here we go. Here's the man, the founder, and your host, Mr. CJ Sports.
Welcome, everybody, to the 110 Nation Sports Show. I'm your host, Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow me at Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. Check us out on Facebook, my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports, the 110 Nation fan page, 110 Nation Sports. Also, check out our site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation. I want to make sure that I thank Fit for Life. You can find them on Facebook, Fit for Life. You can also go to our site, www.the110nationsports.com. The right-hand side, click the pretty little banner, find the location near you. 24/7, 365, get your gym on, clean facility, courtesy staff, everything you could possibly need or want that is Fit for Life. I also got to thank the I-95 Sports Network and Mile High Radio for rebroadcast or syndicating our shows. Maxivation Digital Media for hooking us up with our banners and logos. And catch them on Facebook, Maxivation Digital Media, for all your digital media needs. I also got to thank Carolina Sports Plus. For all the great merchandise we got in the studio. And with the NCAA basketball season right around the corner, NBA season just getting kicked off, NFL season, mid-season, NHL, 4 weeks in. If you've not gotten your merchandising need, if it be shirts, jerseys, socks, gloves, toboggans, flags, cups, whatever the case may be. Check them out on Facebook, Carolina Sports Plus, and get all your merchandising needs. Great price, great product. Just let Mario know that the 110 Nation sent you, and he'll take care of you guys. Without all these great marketing partners and or networks, we wouldn't be able to do what we do and grow the way we grow. So I want to make sure that I thank each and every last one of them. We got Brandon Martin joining us at 9 o'clock tonight. Brandon is a multi-visitor of the show, guest of the show. The only guest that has ever brought tears to my eyes, and that's from laughing so hard. Brandon and Brandon brings some great stories to the show when he comes, and looking forward to having him on the show tonight. Of course, there's going to be a good portion of the show of his time on the show being very serious. As his brother was involved in a serious motorcycle accident at the beginning of the month. And wasn't expected to even make it to the hospital. And just last week, he was able to go home. And so it's been a long, tough road. And got a race this weekend. Race for Dylan Martin. I don't know if it's to raise money or what all the details are, as Brandon will come on and tell us about this weekend's activities that he's going to be participating in. So I'm looking forward to having him on the show, and looking forward to catching up with him and getting an update on Dylan and see how the family's doing and everything else. So I'm looking forward to that. Of course, we got my picks tonight, so looking forward to giving my picks and be catching up on the NFL trades right before yesterday's trade deadline. I think we pretty much covered it all. Packers getting rid of Ty Montgomery, which is really no surprise after last weekend. I think more so the Clinton Dix being traded kind of surprised a lot of people. Makes you wonder if the Packers are kind of written the rest of the season off, as you got rid of the third best safety in the league. So kind of interesting. Of course, Demaryius Thomas going to the Houston Texans. Like I said yesterday, kind of to help Houston win a division that is very winnable, as Tennessee is really no good. Indianapolis has not been any good, and Jacksonville is not playing anywhere close to the level they were playing last year. I'm not going to say they're not any good, but I'll say they're not very good. So you got Houston kind of securing their opportunity to make the playoffs this year. What was the other going to take to Philadelphia? Obviously to help, I guess, right what has ever been wrong so far at the beginning of the season with Philadelphia, not playing to the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles that we knew from last year, and not even first place in their division. So obviously some adjustments need to be made. And so giving Carson Wentz another good target and one of the best yards after the catch in the league presently. Obviously, will help that. So, the Eagles obviously making a great move right before the trade deadline. I saw this post talking about I think he was the fourth rounder there. Demaryius Thomas, I think he was the fifth rounder, and there was another receiver that went for a seventh rounder, and Dallas gave up first rounder for Amari Cooper. Not really a fair comparison. You got Golden Tate, who's been in the league for forever, and is kind of on the latter part of his contract or career. Mitchell Thomas, same way. I think he's approaching 30. It seemed like every season, statistically, he's gotten worse since the days of Peyton Manning. I think, as he did with Eric Decker and a couple other receivers, Peyton Manning made these receivers look a lot better than they really were, and helped. That was what was great about Peyton Manning, especially with the whole Denver run. He was able to help these receivers that wouldn't have gotten the contracts, especially money-wise, they would have not gotten those contracts without the help of Peyton Manning and what he did for them statistically, and helping the catch increase and the yards increase and the touchdown increase. Peyton Manning, and this was just while Peyton Manning was there, he definitely, look at the ridiculous contract that Eric Decker got and the extension that Thomas got there, and Sanders. He even made Tammy, tight end. He helped them along in Indianapolis as well. So, really not a fair comparison. And so, you're talking about a receiver that is just getting done with his first contract. is playing through the changes this year with the whole new coach and everything else, but it's at least played to his first round, maybe not as high as the first round as he was drafted, but still his first round draft pick value. Is younger, and so I don't necessarily feel that was a fair shot that was thrown out there. I feel that Dallas kind of got at value of what, you know, what was, you know, what it cost to get him. So got an interesting week in the NFL coming up. Two losses is all I had last week. That was rather aggravating to know that I couldn't win the football pool, because even with just two losses, that was not good enough. That pretty much had to have a perfect, well, not pretty much, you had to have a perfect weekend. And then you would have had to get a pretty close to accurate Monday night forward to end up winning this week. So tough week. Speaking of tough week, we start off week one with two teams that are playing. Tough year. 1-6 Oakland Raiders travel to San Francisco to play the 1-7 49ers. It's tough because even with the backup quarterback situation in for the 49ers, you still don't feel very confident about Oakland and their chances to win. This, like, this shouldn't even be a discussion. There shouldn't even have to be a second thought or an afterthought or a second thought and an afterthought. And whether or not this Oakland Raider team is going to beat this 49ers team that now is kind of in a rebuild situation. Not that they're moving on quarterback, but you're without your quarterback, and you're without a couple other pieces. And at the same time, you're in a rebuild process. So this is, with all this going on with Shanahan's first year, whole year under as being head coach, this should not even be, and yet it is. there's a question of whether or not the 1-6 Oakland Raiders can beat a 49er team that, yes, it was a lot of smoke and mirrors. We discussed this the end of last year, Mike and myself, and I talked about the 49ers, and I addressed the fact that Jimmy G hadn't lost a game, and the things that contributed to that, the schedule, and who the 49ers opponents happened to be, which either A, were weaker opponents, and opponents that really had no purpose, nothing to gain, and was kind of already focused on next year, or teams that had already secured where they're at in the playoffs, they had nothing to gain or lose and were playing their second, third string players. So it was really no surprise that the 49ers were able to run the table at the end of the year. And Jimmy was able to start his 49er career the way he did, had a lot to do with the situation and the scheduling and those their opponent's situation, more so than how good the 49ers team was with him behind the center and him being their starting quarterback. And I think that once all this is put together and all the pieces are finally there and they're able to draft the players they want to draft and sign the players, especially under Kyle Shanahan, I think this is going to be a good 49er team. I just don't think they were going to run the table in the last five or six games of the season with the new quarterback good. I just think those were all product of the circumstance and the situation of their opponents and the weakness of the schedule at that part of the year that played in the factor, and not so much of how much of a dramatic change and how much dramatically better this team is. I am going to go with the Oakland Raiders. I think this is a chance for Oakland to win. I think this is an opportunity, even though it's going to be a false feeling, I think it's an opportunity for the Oakland Raiders to feel better about themselves. I think they take this win. I think it's going to be a sizable win. I don't think it's going to be necessarily a close game. I say that and I'll watch it come down to a field goal or overtime or something stupid. But I feel that it's going to be more of the lopsided. I think this Oakland Raider team is much better than this 49er team, even without Khalil Mack, without Amari Cooper. I just think that this still is a better team, and there's quite a gap. And I think this week, tomorrow night, I think that we'll see exactly how much that gap is. And I think we're going to hear a lot of happy Oakland players after the game and a happy coach, but I think it's going to be smoke and mirrors, just like the 49ers last year. You're playing a team that's got a backup, that's got in the middle of rebuilding and lost a lot of players. And so I think it's going to be a false happy feeling that they might be dramatically better than the 49ers, but they're not. They're not anywhere near where they need to be. Next game on the list is the Chicago Bears traveling to Buffalo. Surprisingly enough, this Bears team has played much better than to be expected. Obviously, Trubisky has still got a lot of things to learn, and I am still glad that the Browns did not. I'm still glad we went with Myles Garrett. Obviously, Garrett is the right choice in the number one spot. I'm still glad, but Trubisky is also playing at a little better level than I was giving him credit for. I didn't even think that he would play as good as he has been playing, but yet still glad the Browns did draft him. Playing against Buffalo, who has looked horrible. This is sad to watch. This is a game that I don't think is going to have many Buffalo highlights. I think Chicago is going to have a lot of highlights to show for this week. I'm going with the Chicago Bears over the Chicago Bears over the Buffalo Bills in a pretty commanding fashion there. The next game on the list is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that are going back to the Ryan Fitzpatrick era, I guess. I don't know what we're like here. As things have gotten so bad for Jameis Winston, you know you're playing horrible football if you're being benched for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Traveling to play Carolina, it seems that the Panthers have found something. They're playing really good football at this point. Still not a serious threat to go deep into the playoffs or really or win a Super Bowl. As long as Cam Newton is your quarterback, and don't go there. Oh, Mr. CJ Sports, they just went to the Super Bowl a few years ago, and they have statistically the easiest schedule that year. They went almost undefeated. They only played two teams that were 500 or better or above 500 when they played them, and everybody else on the schedule. I know they don't make their schedules. It's not Alabama and make their own schedule. I understand it's on a rotating schedule, and that's luck of the draw. That's like the year, it was about 4 or 5 years ago, that everybody flipped their lids and who the Patriots have the easiest schedule. Well, you do also realize that means that outside of Buffalo, the Jets, and Miami happened to play New England, those three teams also had the easiest schedule that we could have had. People act like the New England Patriots that year were the ones that made their schedule, and it's just a rotating schedule. And so the year that the Panthers went almost undefeated, it just happened to rotate that they had the easiest schedule that possibly could have been made. And that year, the rest of the conference happened to be bad. And so it worked out for them until they got to the Super Bowl, and then they were manhandled. Until the Carolina Panthers get a quarterback that actually has an arm, an accurate arm, and is willing to stay in the pocket, the Super Bowl run that they did have because of their schedule, that's as good as it gets for Carolina. And until they are ready to move on, and really it's sad because there are such good players on that team right now. Many quarterbacks would love to have Greg Olsen as their tight end. That defense and Keith Lee, McCaffrey in the backfield, even Munchen and wide receiver. I might say top five, but brings you a nice target. It's kind of like a lot of the players of the Browns drafted. You kind of feel bad because there's a lot of players before, like Joe Thomas, that team was a real good team. You just couldn't get a quarterback. You couldn't put points on the board, and kind of feel bad for some of these Carolina Panther players because by the time you finally get a quarterback or by the time they go somewhere else, they're going to be past the prime, and you just kind of feel bad. But this week, quarterback change for the Buccaneers, and the sense that Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be the starting quarterback, that kind of gives you an idea of what direction the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going. And like I said, the Panthers, that fourth quarter comeback against the Eagles was beyond impressive. I'm going with the Carolina Panthers. Next game on the list is the Kansas City Chiefs against my Cleveland Browns. I think maybe the first week I have picked the Cleveland Browns. Four out of eight games at this point, overtime. Almost every game has been a field goal or less. I think there's what now at this point, two blowouts, the Steeler game and the Charger game. Very competitive, close games. And this week it could go either direction. This could be a bad outing for the Cleveland Browns with a new head coach and a new offensive coordinator, or this could be one hell of an outing with a new offensive coordinator and different coach. I'm going to take the safer bet of the two, that it's not going to go as good as it needs to go to be even really competitively close with the Kansas City Chiefs. As much as I would love to say or see my Browns at least even be competitive and this be a close game, I don't even see that. I see the Kansas City Chiefs blowing out the Cleveland Browns. Next game on the list is the New York Jets versus the Miami Dolphins. The Sam Darnold project. I don't know. You kind of feel bad for Sam Darnold being stuck on a Jets team that just, I don't know. I understand it's rookie and it's a whole learning process, but like I said, I feel kind of bad. A 3-5 Jets team traveling to Miami against a 4-4. Obviously, with Tannehill not being there, it's not the Dolphin team that a lot were expecting, and obviously Miami was hoping for. Jets still trying to learn each other, trying to learn this new quarterback trying to be a consistent quarterback more so. I like Miami at home much more than I like the Jets anywhere really. I'll take the Dolphins over the Jets. Next game, interesting game, always a fun game to watch. Two teams that I absolutely positively hate being a Browns fan. One, because of the rivalry in between the Steelers and the Browns, and then, of course, the obvious reasons for the Ravens. But always a fun game to watch. Always a very intense game. Always always a game that we see a lot of tempers. We see some fights at times. We see a lot. Much different than the first time around. The Steeler team, I think, has found their rhythm. I think that they've come to the realization that Bell's not coming back. Statistically, Connor's having a better season than I think Bell even last year. It's not the same running back, but it's a running back that is putting up statistically what he needs to put up to really kind of this Bell conversation the first couple weeks was in the front and foremost topic, you know, biggest conversation is when the Steelers were struggling, tied the Browns, start off 1-0, 1-1, and 1-1-1, and 1-2-1 before they go on this run. Now they're 5-2-1. Now that they're 5-2-1 and on top of the AFC North, there's not such a conversation. Like, I actually had to ask around when the whole topic of Bell even got brought up, because last I knew he was going to join the Steelers on week 7, and then I heard nothing else, and there's nothing else been talked about it, and so it was one of the things I actually had to look around and what happened and everything else. But I think Connor has definitely stepped up into the role as produced and been productive, I think even more so than the organization thought he was going to be able to. And I think that has helped kind of change the direction, and you kind of get a chalk one up for the Steelers and not backing down and being stern. And I've talked about this before, and I know this is not a popular opinion, especially when it comes to the athletes and it comes to the players. when you play for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you got to understand you're not going to Pittsburgh to play for the contract. You're not going to Pittsburgh to have the big contract, to be in the limelight, and that's not what you're going to Pittsburgh for. You're going to Pittsburgh, or you get drafted by the Steelers, and this is where you kind of feel bad for some players, because some players, you don't have that option. You're drafted by the Steelers, and you know there's some that get traded, and I understand that as well. This is more so those that don't sign somewhere else, or when free agency comes up, they go voluntarily. But those that get drafted and those that get traded to the Steelers, I have some sympathy for you, like I said, but I don't at the same time, because you get an opportunity to go play for one of the most respected, one of the most decorated, one of the most what word do I want to use? Because you don't go to you don't go to Pittsburgh for the contract. You don't go to Pittsburgh to have the biggest contract. You go to Pittsburgh to play for the history, to be part of that steel curtain, to be associated with the terrible towel, to have an opportunity every, I don't know, 3 to 4 years, be in the Super Bowl and be a legit Super Bowl contending team, not just happen to make it to the Super Bowl. That's what you're playing when you go to Pittsburgh. That's what you're playing for, to be part of that, to be part of one of the most respected organizations, to be part of history, to be part of something bigger than yourself, and honestly, bigger than the NFL. This is a brotherhood. And so I understand that it's not necessarily fair to some players that get drafted or traded, but that's what you're going to go play for. And you have to learn to embrace it and be part of it. And that's just the way it is. And while you're there, you have to embrace it. Now, once your contract's up, then this is where I don't feel bad, because LBL knew this is what and so you just finish your contract out and then go somewhere else. Don't hold out. That's not the Steeler way. I'm sorry, it's just not. We've seen, you know, I think Antonio Brown getting the check that he got and the contract he got kind of was outside the box and something that, you know, was kind of unexpected. But we've seen many other players end up going somewhere else, because this is how it works. You don't strong arm the organization. The organization lets you know your value, and either you play to that value, you know, either you accept that value or you go play somewhere else. Either you're kind of the Patriots are the same way. You know, Patriots, you're not going to dictate how much we pay you. We're going to let you know, and either you be a part of an organization, and I hate using this comparison a lot of times, because I don't feel the Patriots have the history and there's that same respect or same privilege or honor as the Steelers. You're talking Super Bowls and the history of the Steelers. The Patriots only really been relevant since about 2000, early 2000 anyway, so it's kind of different. But when you go play for the Patriots, you are full aware that you're not going to go play to have a big lucrative contract or to be in the spotlight or really even have much of a front of the camera life, period, because it is usually just Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, maybe some Gronkowski, and especially out of Tom Brady and Belichick, it is very simple, quick, to the point answer. There's not a lot of camera time. There's not a lot of, you know, headliners. That's just the way it is. But you know that you're getting an opportunity to go where the Steelers, maybe every 3 or 4 years, you're looking for the Patriots every, what, 1.5, 2 years? Like, seems like every other year the Patriots are back in the Super Bowl. So that's what you know you're going to go play for. I think the Steelers and the Ravens both are in two different places than they were the first time this came around. I think the Steelers are at a much better place, even though they're traveling to Baltimore. I like the Steelers in this matchup, and I don't even think it's a close game. I'm not going to say it's a blowout, and it is probably going to be in a close game because of the heated hatred between these two organizations. Like, it is truly fun. I don't know if it'd be as fun being a Steeler or a Baltimore fan watching this, knowing that any minute of the time, you could have one of your players get thrown out of the game, or penalties that could cost, or a raw deal because of, you know, maybe a referee not seeing the first push, shove, or whatever, and your player getting, you know, a 15-yard penalty for retaliating that the referee did. See, I know as a Raven or Steeler fan, it might not be as fun of a game to watch. But I tell you what, being a Browns fan or being really a fan of any other team, having an opportunity to watch this heated hate, this hatred between these two franchises, it makes it a very fun, intriguing, and exciting game to watch. But I think the Steelers take care of business. I think at this point the Steelers run away with the AFC North. I don't think that the Cincinnati Bengals are good enough and consistent enough to maintain and keep up with the Steelers. I think the Steelers have found that fifth gear and have put their pieces in a line and know where they're going, and have really come together. And I think the Ravens, I think they're starting to hear the questioning whether or not Joe Flacco should still be the starting quarterback, or Lamar Jackson should be. I think that conversation is going to be a conversation that starts to see more and more life and becomes more and more of a distraction as the Baltimore Ravens find themselves on the losing end more times than they probably should. Next game on the list is the Lions and the Vikings. Detroit loses, Golden Tate loses, obviously. One of the best slot receivers and one of the best yards after catch receivers in the league this year. Obviously, that is going to hurt the Detroit Lions. Minnesota at home, a tough opponent as it is. Obviously, an arm length reach of the Lions and the Bears and the Packers. Everybody right there. Every game, especially divisional games, are very critical and very important. I think at home the Vikings go ahead and take care of what they got to take care of to keep their playoff hopes alive. Falcons, Redskins. Obviously, the Redskins got a little better this weekend as well with the addition of Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. Obviously make that defense a little bit better, and you had to. Washington had to make the move with Dallas adding Amari Cooper, with Philadelphia adding Golden Tate. Their hand was kind of forced and they really needed to add some pieces to make sure that they stay competitive. Atlanta, I did it so hard to it is so hard to predict which Atlanta team is going to show up. Atlanta team that has so many weapons, that has a quarterback that could very easily be top three quarterback in the league, not all time, but in the league currently. And this team is so inconsistent. It is hard to pick this team when you're filling out your weekly sheet. It is hard to pick out, you know, the beginning of the season, what team you think is going to win the division, what team is going to win the conference, what team is going to be the representative for the NFC in the Super Bowl, even win the Super Bowl. And Atlanta's one of those teams that make it so hard because you don't know. We watched this Atlanta team be so flat beginning of the season, and then halfway to three-quarters into the season, all of a sudden be one of the hottest teams. We watched them start off 5-1, 6-0, and then the next thing you know, they're fighting to even get into a wild card spot. And we watched them get 25 points at halftime over the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. And yet, very inconsistent, even from the first half to the second half of a game, from game to game or first half to second half of the season. I'm going to take Washington. Obviously, this is a very must-win game for the Washington Redskins, as all these teams kind of improve themselves at the trade deadline, other than the New York Giants. And the Giants kind of thrown in their hand. I think they know they've done. Three teams that it's going to be an interesting race. And not that the NFC South is not got a race among itself, but I think we know what's coming down to the Panthers and the Saints, and unless somebody can slow down the Saints, I don't even think it comes down to them too. I think the Saints continue to run away with the South, and I think it's going to take a lot to beat the Saints, and I don't see it happening. I don't even see it happening this week that things be slowed down. Yes, that's what word am I looking for? A hint at who I'm going with in the Saints game later on. Texans and Broncos. Thomas now with the Texans, Broncos without a receiver, Broncos having one of the worst seasons that we've seen out of them in a long time. 3-5, Houston, really this is their division to win. The rest of this division is just not looking good. Like I said, Jacksonville not playing to the level that we expected. Tennessee 3-4, not really that good either. I honestly believe this year, if Houston plays their cards right, this is their division this year. Really, it's theirs to lose. This will be based off of how they finish the second half of this season. I'm going to take Houston going into Denver and beating up on the Denver Broncos. I say beating up. I don't think it's going to be a horribly blowout game. I do think that the Houston Texans, Seattle at home gets the Chargers. I'll tell you what, the Chargers team has been playing very good football, 5-2. The Seattle Seahawks team, I think, has surprised some people. Thomas gone. Jimmy Graham gone, one to injury, one to offseason. I don't think people were expecting Seattle to be sitting 4-3 and seem like a legit contender and being in potentially the playoff hunt with the wild card. Obviously, LA is going to wrap up the division itself. Chargers playing at a much better level. The Chargers to me is like Atlanta. You never know from one half of the season to the other half of what Chargers team you're going to get. And as great as this Chargers team has been this year, 5-2, Melvin Gordon playing, like Melvin Gordon of the Wisconsin Badgers, I don't think that they can travel to Seattle 12th man against a Chargers team that is very much still in the playoff hunt and every win matters. And Seattle can't afford any losses. They're not just playing to win this division. I don't think that this division is really even in their reach at 4-3. But they are playing for a wild card. They're going to have to either have a better record than the Carolina Panthers or one of the other two that doesn't make it out of Washington, Dallas, and Philadelphia, who also improved themselves before the trade line. And then you got Chicago and Green Bay and Minnesota. There's a lot of legitimate teams there that are in the playoff hunt. And so Seattle can't afford to have any more losses if they even want to keep their wild card hopes alive. I have Seattle at home over the Chargers. Saints at home. One of the most explosive teams in the NFL, going against the only undefeated team in the NFL. Obviously, the Chargers weren't done, still added another piece to that Charger team. I don't think it makes a difference. You're looking at Drew Brees, one of the best quarterbacks ever played in this game, and one of the best quarterbacks of this season. Call me crazy, but I think this 6-1 New Orleans Saints team at home can beat and will beat the Rams and give them their first loss. I think home field is important. I think the Saints know this. I think that the Saints will want the Rams come NFC Conference Championship time or anybody else, but more than likely the Rams. I think that the Saints want to see them have to come through their house to go down to the Superdome versus having to go play in L.A. And it'd be a traveling game, away game for them. Saints over the Rams, give the Rams their first loss. That is one of I don't even really want to call it an upset. I don't really think it's an upset. I honestly think that the Saints team is better than this Rams team. I just think that the Saints are hitting on all cylinders, and they have a quarterback in Drew Brees with the experience and the veteran leadership, and to me that makes all the difference in the world. I it's not a shot at Jared Goff. He's been a good quarterback, but good against the Saints is not enough. The Packers travel to New England. For those that listen or have ever listened to the 110 Nation Sports Show, I don't bet against Tom Brady or the Bill Belichick system, nor do I go against a 6-2 Patriot team that once was questioned whether or not they were done and that it was time to move on from Brady and Bill Belichick to now number one team in the AFC. You can throw the Kansas City Chiefs out there. Who handed Kansas City the only loss to the New England Patriots? The Packers looked like they kind of threw the towel in. Trade deadline kind of just gave away two players. One of them, we understood why. The other one was kind of surprised and really got nothing in return. You got a draft pick. That was it. Didn't address any of your needs. Didn't address any of your wants. Just draft pick. Patriots obviously want home field throughout. You don't want to have to travel to Arrowhead. You want them to come to Gillette. That's just what you want to happen. So Patriots are going to do everything they can to win every game they can to try to at least have a tie record so they can own the tiebreaker or flat out just have the best record so that anybody and everybody, but more specifically that the Kansas City Chiefs got to travel and go through Gillette Stadium to make it to the Super Bowl. I have the Patriots at home over the Green Bay Packers. Tennessee Titans in your Monday night game against the Dallas Cowboys. Even prior roster, Dallas, better team than Tennessee. I was going to go with the Dallas Cowboys anyway. You had Amari Cooper. I think the game ends up being a little bit closer than it should be or would have been. You're talking a young receiver. You're talking a young quarterback. I think that there will be too many or more than usual ill-advised passes or forced passes trying to work on getting Amari Cooper into the system and trying to kind of force this marriage. I think that with them being young, I see them trying too hard with it, and so the game being closer than it should. But I think Cowboys win. I hope I'm wrong. And the fact that I hope that they just kind of let it come naturally. I think that once Cooper has a few games under his belt and they have an opportunity to kind of learn each other and get acquainted with each other, I think it's going to be a fun combination to watch. And I think the Cowboys will be a little more productive because now you have Cooper as your threats. You still got Beasley in the slot, and you got Ezekiel Elliott, which I think the Cowboys will be having Elliott have more of a workload, and I expect to see him touch the ball even more than they have already increased. But I think that this Cowboy team could be interesting to watch, could make things interesting with the 5-2 Washington Redskins and of course, the Philadelphia Eagles. And this could be a fun three-team race out of the East. So that'll be fun to watch. With the Dallas Cowboys, we'll see how this week goes. As like I said last week, I had two losses. That was all I had and was still not even close enough. Sadly enough, wasn't even in the ballpark. But even with two losses, that was too many, and I was unable to find myself winning the football pool, sadly enough. Anyway, I want to make sure that I thank Fit for Life. You guys can find them on Facebook, Fit for Life. You can also go to our site, www.110nationsports.com, the right-hand side. Click the pretty little banner. Find the location near you. 24/7, 365. Get your gym on. Clean facility, courtesy staff. Everything you could possibly need or want that is Fit for Life. Also got to thank Maxivation Digital Media. They hooked us up with our cool banners and logos. They are here to help you grow your digital presence. You just shared, they just shared over there recently how much they have helped companies' social media and how much they have helped them grow. I can tell you before it was an actual company, the founder, Shannon Bullen, helped us grow our social media, and I can tell you within weeks, I don't even know if weeks was even, I think within a couple weeks, he helped grow our Facebook likes, about 500 likes. I know that Shannon and Maxivation does an excellent job and can be a very big helping tool of growing your presence on the for your company. So make sure you guys check them out. Also, got to thank Carolina Sports Plus. Got a lot of great merchandise from him. Flag for my car window, mugs, socks, gloves, shirts. I've got a lot of great things from them. Make sure you guys hit them up on Facebook. Carolina Sports Plus, great price. Let Mario know that the One Ten Nation sent you, and he'll definitely take care of you. Great pricing, anything that you need, he's got it. So make sure you guys check them out. I also got to thank the I-95 Sports Network and Mile High Radio for rebroadcast or syndicating our show. Without all these great marketing partners and or networks, we wouldn't be able to do what we do or grow the way we grow. So I want to make sure that I thank each and every last one of them. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter, at 110 Nation. You can like us on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. You can also check out our site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation. We've got Brandon Martin joining us in the studio. Like I tell everybody that's never listened to the show, Brandon is the only guest that I've had on the show that has brought tears to my eyes from laughing so hard, and not just once, but almost every time we get him on the show. Brandon's always got some great funny stories, if it be race stories or just life in general or work stories. Brandon's always seems to have a story that he brings to the show, because he knows that I'm always looking for the next big laugh out of whatever has gone on. Also brother of Dylan Martin. So there's going to be a good part of this conversation that is going to be on a serious note, and a lot of things have happened over the last month or so, which leads to kind of why we have him on this week specifically, as they have a race coming up, or Brandon has a race coming up that we're going to talk about and get into more of the details with Brandon, but get caught up with what's been going on this year and how the family's doing, how Dylan's doing. I was supposed to have an opportunity to hang out with them when I went down Memorial Day weekend, and unfortunately the race didn't happen. And so it seemed like the last two times the race didn't happen, I was actually supposed to catch up with both of them. They happen to live relatively close to where my brother did live, but my nephews and my sister-in-law. But without any further ado, let's go ahead and get Brandon into the studio and get caught up with Brandon. How you doing tonight, Brandon?
Hey, man, how's it going? Doing well.
It's going. Before we jump into this, as always, I'm going to give you an opportunity to plug what you need to plug, social media-wise. It would be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever you use to promote your racing and interact with the fans, and also any sponsors that you want to throw out there that help make all this possible.
Yeah, absolutely. No, easiest way to follow us is going to be on Facebook. You can go to Black Sails Racing. That's where we keep everybody up to date on where we're on at the racing side of things. We try to keep some of the personal side of things up as well. And then as far as sponsors go, I always want to give a big shout out to ProCare Auto. They're really big for us as far as keeping that car on the track, making sure that our personal cars are ready as well. And then of course Blackwater Integration, my family, my mom and dad, they always make sure that we got tires in the last second pinch and that we got new shoes on her, so we'll go nice and quick.
Oh, so many different directions we could go, Brandon, and I honestly have sat there and thought about this over and over, which way to go first, and not sure which way I want to go first. Well, let's do this first. Your season so far. I know that there's been a lot of things that have happened off the track that have kind of put that kind of the back burner, the family and Dylan stuff was much more important. And then, of course, weather, Memorial Day weekend, as an example, I was supposed to be able to hang out with you guys, and the rain came in and kind of ruined that weekend. I know there's been a lot of weekends that the weather has been a factor. Outside of all that going on, how has the season gone for you, and how many races have you been able to actually get in with everything going on this year?
You know, it's been a pretty light year for us up to this point. I think we've only got actually three races in, but that's because, we started it with the Sportsman and everything was going pretty well, and then an opportunity came up that I just absolutely could not pass on, and that was flipping to the trucks, because it was always our goal to be in a truck. I think that was where we're most comfortable at, and that's, for me, I'm doing it for fun, and that's where we had the most fun, so we wanted to get back to it. So an opportunity came up to get a truck, and we jumped on it. And then through the mid-season break in Florida, it decided to rain every Saturday. and you got to experience it Memorial Day. We thought we were good, and then there was 90% chance on Saturday morning, and we decided, never mind. That's the way it's gone up to this point. But, we got a couple coming up. Obviously, this week we're going to be there for the Veterans Memorial Race at Auburndale, as well as, I think, late November. We're going to be back at Auburndale for the season finale, and then also the charity race at the end. So we're actually going to get more racing in the last 2 months of the year than we have the rest of the year, which is really sad. But, life happens. Stuff has came up. We've kind of had to make a few pivot points lately.
Obviously the last month, has been a, roller coaster ride for you, your whole family. As I went to sleep the night before, or the night that happened, I didn't even know until the next morning, and I didn't even know what to think when I woke up. I think I woke up 4 o'clock that morning and Miss Lee had messaged me. But for those that don't know, Brandon's brother was in a bad motorcycle wreck. I want to fast forward first, and then I'll let you. I really don't know how to ask, and I don't want you to touch any areas that I don't want to be touching, or it's, thank God we're at where we're at now, and so I want to touch on that. And
right.
I want to let you kind of fill in any pieces that you want to share or talk about or what you've gotten to witness or experience. But at this point, Dylan Martin has your brother. I don't know why I said Dylan Martin. Your brother has been able to come home, and he's making a remarkable recovery, something that there was a lot of questioning whether or not what and how and everything else. And obviously a lot of people have been there praying. I know that he has gotten a lot of cards. He's gotten a lot of letters and everything else. Where is Dylan at this point, recovery-wise? Where is he at on the physical part of it? And what has this been like for you and your family?
As far as his recovery goes, we can pretty much say for certain he is going to make a 100% full recovery, which is just absolutely fascinating for what happened. But we can say that now. Three, four weeks ago, I think we'd be having a very different conversation. But it's a much happier state in the family now. I will say that I think hell is about the only way to describe the last month that the family's been going through. Words really can't describe the life-altering moment of when you walk into the room, because when we found out what had happened, me and Dad were actually in Phoenix, so we were all the way across the country. And of all places, we were on a ski lift. So if you want to picture something really terrible, imagine me and my dad, who's just as big as me, on a ski lift 13,000 feet in the air, and we're both scared of heights. His phone started going off, and he refused to answer it because he was too scared to let go of the ski lift. He was latched onto the chair like an octopus, and my phone started going off. That's when I picked it up and found out what had happened. And then it was the longest 20-minute ride to the bottom of the mountain that I've ever been on. Dad got out that night. I got out the next day. We both got there. But when I walked into the room, for all the right reasons, they hadn't told me. I had no idea. I thought that they actually did a very good job lying to me to keep me calm on the way here. I have to give my wife props. That woman can't lie worth nothing, but she pulled this one off. I walked into the room expecting to see Dylan semi-awake, and I walked in to see my baby brother on life support. Nothing can prepare you for that.
No.
They said that when he left the scene in an ambulance because, quote, we weren't going to waste the life flight on him. He wasn't going to make it anyways.
Oh, wow.
That came straight from one of the nurses. The life flight was not worth it. 28 broken bones. I think his ankle, his femur, his shin, both of his wrists were all open. It was disgusting, to say the least. But by the time I got there, he was in a coma. They didn't expect him to make it through the night because he crashed when they put him on life support. And then they basically told us he was brain dead. Which, unfortunately, is not the first time we've gone through something like this. I actually had a friend do the same thing in, I think, middle school. One of the guys we played football with. So it was life-altering to see your little brother like that. Someone that, I mean, even though, don't get me wrong, he's 6 years younger than me, I've always looked up to him. You know, I've always wanted to be like him in his racing and how he handles the public and all the charity work that he does. I mean, he's an incredible kid. I've always looked up to him. So to walk into the room and see that, it was it put you on pause, that's for sure. That being said, I think it was 6 days that he was in a coma, and they were absolutely the worst 6 days of my life. And I would not wish that on my worst enemy. It was unbearable. But I kept joking with Jamie, trying to stay somewhat positive. And I'd tell her, I was like, don't worry, he's just sleeping. Because if anybody knows Dylan, Dylan sleeps till like 4 in the afternoon every day. It doesn't matter. He does not wake up. So I told her, I was like, look, all they did was they gave the kid a reason to sleep, and he's taking him up. It's like, that's it. That's all it is. Well, about 6 days later, which, I mean, is the exact opposite feeling of what happened when I walked in, they turned all his pain medicine off. And they said, let's see what happens. Apparently, he didn't like that, because that's when he woke up. And it was me, Mom, Dad, and a nurse standing in the room, and the only way to describe it was like watching somebody flip a light switch. He hadn't moved since I walked in the first day. He hadn't even twitched a muscle. All of a sudden, he's moving his arms, his legs, he's opening his eyes up, and he's trying to get all his IVs out. It was insane. And I think Dad put it best, and I've obviously never experienced this, but he has. He said the only way to describe it is watching your first child be born, because he literally went from nothing to he popped to life.
Wow.
And it was the exact opposite of of what happened when we walked in. That feeling of elation, relief. It was completely overwhelming. And literally at that point, he turned around. I guess he decided he didn't want to sleep anymore. So at that point, we couldn't get him to stop moving. He was still in and out. He was still half there. He tells us he remembers very, very, very small amounts of it. But we'd have to stand by his bed 24/7, you know, making sure he didn't try to take his IVs out, making sure he didn't try to rip the tube out of his throat, which to us seems like it's a terrible thing. But the nurse is going, no, this is good. That we want him to do this because having something shoved down your throat is not pleasant. Obviously, yeah. He doesn't want it there.
Yeah.
But that was the first big break point. And then the second one was when they flipped him off the breathing machine and his body took over within, I think, 2 seconds. Like it was like it was nothing. They took it out the next day.
Now,
but from that point on, he made a recovery that was just absolutely. They were telling us 3 to 6 months in the ICU. He was out of the ICU in a week, and he's already back home. He was at the shop today playing with us.
Now, your brother is a well likable person. He's does a lot. He helps a lot of people. He's part of the Shriners and everything else. So there was no doubt that there was going to be some support and, you know, people there for him. But what was it like to see the amount of support and the amount of people that the messages pouring in, the cards, the letters? I can only imagine what that was like, not only for Dylan, but for the entire family to see how many people, you know, were thinking about him, praying for him, throughout this whole process.
I think the only way to put it would be overwhelming. You know he has a lot of friends, you know he's touched a lot of people, but God, you don't know it till something like this happens. I think for the first 3 or 4 nights, my phone was a useless brick. I kept having to apologize to everybody who was trying to get to me to find out, you know, where are you at? Where's Dylan? Is there something we can bring you? Because my phone literally was so overloaded, it just shut off. And Dad's did the same thing. I had over 1,500 text messages in under 24 hours. I didn't even know these people had my number. They were finding my number and texting me from all of his, you know, friends and contacts from up north. It was astounding and humbling, I guess, would be the better way to put it. Because I mean, as hard as you work with these charities, and you know, as much work as he does, and that we do with all these people, you really don't see how many people it touches outside of those ones that you're really focusing on helping. You know, especially in something like the cars, where they pick certain kids that they raise money for all year. What you don't think about all the time is their family and their friends and all those other people that those people know. That automatically through your work are going, hey, we know that kid and we care about him. And that that threw us all for a loop. I don't think any one of us were ready for that.
Now, you've got a race. Is it this weekend coming up?
I do. Yeah, it's going to be we're practicing Friday and we're tearing it up Saturday.
and this race is for Dylan?
So the one thing that we did, I tried to do something for him without being too cheesy, because if you know him, if it's cheesy, he just laughs at you. So I tried to do something without him knowing, which also didn't work because I was going to hide it from him, and then he decided to go to the shop. But we've got a hood on there for him. We've absolutely dedicated the race to him. The rest of this season is all about Boy Kid Wonder, which, I mean, let's be honest, every season's about him, but this one's a little bit extra special. But we took his old Mad Monkey logo and we put it on the hood, and we've got Dylan Strong across the bottom. And the one thing that I'm asking everybody to do is to sign the hood. And that is anybody that has the ability, if Dylan has touched somebody's life in any way, I want y'all to get up there and come sign the hood. It'll be there on all three races that we have left during the autograph sessions. We'll have markers out there for the fans to be able to come down and sign it and wish him well. And then for those of you who can't get here, which I know there's a lot of his, you know, a lot of his contacts that can't, I've opened up my message box and saying, just send me messages. And what I'm doing is I'm signing people's names for them and sending them pictures of where they are. So they know they're on the hood as well. But yeah, that's something that I'm really pushing, because at the end of the charity race, pending I can keep it in one piece, which if we know me is unlikely, we'll probably stitch it together for him. But I'm gonna give it to him at the end of the race, whether hanging up at the shop or in his room or really whatever the heck he wants to do with it, because it's his.
A little bit about the race this weekend. What track are you going to be at, and have you raced this track, and is it a track that you perform well or like?
We're back at Auburndale. We're sticking to the home track. We'll actually be there for the rest of the year. Next year, we're going to travel out. Yeah, we'll be going out to Citrus and whatever. But for the first few races in the truck, we're gonna stick to our home track. It's a track that I know very well. It's a little bull ring. For those of you who are around the Central Florida area, you know it's a little quarter mile, mini Martinsville. Lot of what happened with Joey going on at Auburndale. It's pretty much the only way to pass there. One I know and love. It's by far one of my favorites.
Is Dylan going? I know he did a lot of crew chiefing for you throughout your racing. Is he participating any this weekend? And if not, are you expecting him to any of the three races be part of the crew or be on the box and help call the race for you?
It's going to be 50-50. It's really up to him whether he wants to come this week. I think in the next two he should be there. And he'll be on the radio doing his normal Dylan stuff, making fun of me like he always does. It's 50-50 on this week whether or not he's going to be there. As far as helping on the crew, poor kid's still in a wheelchair. We'll stick the tire on his lap and make him go to the tire bar.
I meant more crew chief than
One of the guys that are in the background for us, Chad Pierce, who's a background for me, but a huge name in Central Florida racing. He's actually going to be with us crew chief. And it was Dylan's old crew chief. That was the guy that took him through the trucks and the supers until he left. So it was nice to get him over and steal him away, because this is a guy that'll go to the track and he'll have six cars lined up, all that he's working on, and they all came out of his shop. So it's nice to be able to lock him down.
And speaking of Joey, this weekend, your thoughts on that was, a couple things. One, I feel that it was more of a racing incident than anything. I don't feel that it was that significant, and NASCAR's going to, of course, try to build this, and like I said Monday, I feel that Truex is more of a professional. I can't see him being confrontational. I can see Logano, I can see Keselowski, Kenseth, Harvick, Busch, Truex is more of a calm, precise driver. Like he doesn't get wrapped up into that. So I don't. When I see this for Logano or for Truex hashtag whose side you on, I'm sitting there saying this is really not this is not going to work. This is not. But your thoughts on that last lap, and am I wrong? Can they build a rivalry the last 3 weeks with this?
I think this weekend was a mix of Logano's an idiot and Truex is too nice. I think that's really what happened. The only thing that really irked me about it, and it really bothered me, was Truex raced him clean for six laps. He didn't touch him.
Mm-hmm.
He raced him clean. He passed him clean. He got by him without laying a single rubber mark on his door, and then he got punted. I thought it was a terrible move on Logano's part. On the other hand, I can't say I wouldn't have done the same thing. last lap at Martinsville to get to Miami, I'd have punted him too, but – told me not to have been proud of it.
I was quoted, and you're friends with me on Facebook, so you've seen a lot of my posts, and you probably have seen my relationship with my mom. I call her mommy. I have a very close, great relationship with my mother, even at 40 years old. And I was quoted on the show Monday saying that I would have done the same thing to my mom for a chance to be at Miami for a championship. It is what it is. And, you know, it's all about that trophy at the end of the day. So every time we get you on, Brandon, we always get a funny story. And I know this is something that you got to think about and plan for. You know it's coming, and the last couple of times you told me, you know, you already had a story ahead of time because you knew it was coming. And we talked a little bit earlier, so I'm assuming that you already had one in mind, or at least got one in mind before tonight's show. Did you manage to pull one out of the archives for us?
So, you know, I think what's been fun at this point now about this whole, you know, Dylan debacle in the last month is, now that we know he's going to be okay, and he's his normal sarcastic self, we laugh about it. So now there's a whole bunch of stuff that we can just look back and giggle like, oh, my God, you actually did that. And let me tell you what, Dylan is funny when he's not on drugs. But when Dylan is half in a coma and high on painkillers, the kid will make you cry. He said some of the funniest, one of my favorites is every time the nurses would come in to talk to him, or because they would always tell him, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. When Dylan was half out of it, he'd look at me and he'd go, are they cute? And if I said no, he wouldn't let him touch me. He would literally just be like, get away from me. Go away. No, she's not cute. No. And so I'd be like, Dylan, it's okay. She's cute. Oh, okay, cool. And he would just lay back and let her do whatever. he did some really funny ones. By far, I think the best one that's G-rated enough for radio. So right when Dylan got his breathing tube out, his throat was still really sore and he couldn't swallow. So they had told us, you know, you're gonna have to sit there with a little suction tube and suction out his mouth for him. And he was conscious enough to tell you when to do it. Like, okay, no problem. Well, I decided I'm gonna be the good brother and take the overnight shift. Let mom and dad get some sleep.
Uh-huh.
This little crackhead within 10 minutes literally looks up at me. The very first words he said to me, he starts licking his lips, and I said, Dylan, you need me to use the suction on you? And he looks up, smirks, and goes, suck my mouth. he's a little shithead the whole time. It was so funny. Dylan is a known sarcastic little guy, but boy, when he's high, he's sarcastic without a filter, and it was pretty entertaining.
Oh Lord, have mercy! I am glad to see that Dylan is going to recover 100%, and I'm glad to see that everything has calmed down. I know from talking with you and the conversations that I've had with your parents on Messenger throughout the years that I've known you guys are all real close, and family is big and important. So I can only imagine what it was like for you guys with the uncertainty, with not knowing what was going to happen and how this was going to play out. So I'm glad that fast forward, we are where we are now, and Dylan is going to be able to recover, and glad to see that there was so many people praying and sending messages and writing and cards and everything else, as we've seen many pictures of the hospital room and the support and everything else. Definitely would love to get you back on after this race at some point, if it be next week or the following week, whatever your schedule looks like. To kind of talk about, you know, just for a brief few minutes, talk about this weekend and how it turned out and everything else, Brandon. But definitely glad everything has worked out. I'm glad that God is so great and has been able to write what should have been, and looking forward to a great weekend for you guys, and hopefully you're able to put that vehicle out front and win this race this weekend as well. And hopefully this weekend there's a lot of supports and a lot of people signing that hood and looking forward to catching back up with you and see how it all went.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'd love to come back on. Do say a prayer for me this week. Little known fact about the truck that we have now, it's actually Dylan's old truck. I had went up and got it. This is before all this happened. I went up and got it from the guy that we traded the Super to. So y'all do me a favor and say a prayer for me, because let me tell you, if I don't come in the top three, this little kid will never let me hear the end of it. Because he can win in it and I can't. So until we actually stick it on victory lane, I'm not going to live it down. So y'all say a prayer that half the field wrecks so I can get up front. it's been awesome catching up with y'all, man. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. You have a great night, great weekend, and we'll talk either Monday or early Tuesday and catch up on when we get you back on here.
Sounds good, man. We'll see you then.
All right. Have a great night.
All right. You too now. Bye.
Brandon Martin, longtime guest of the show. Like Ms. Leah and I said, the whole Martin family is just more than a guest. They're, you know, more than really just friends. We're like family to they're like family to us. And you know, I almost every day wear my Dylan Martin shirts. As a matter of fact, I just pulled it in from having it hanging outside dry, because I try not to dry my shirts. That's probably the most worn shirt for me in my daily routine. Every day it's clean. I don't wear many shirts, but that's that. And I have a Charlotte Memorial Day weekend shirt that I got, I think, 2012 or something, that is in rotation. There's like three T-shirts is really all I wear. But the Dylan Martin, the first one, I can't find my black one. I really got to start going through the closet and find it. But the gray one I wear all the time. Definitely glad to see that everything is getting back to normal, and that Dylan will be able to recover, and hopefully one day we'll be able to get him back on the show, and hopefully that involves talk about him racing and or at least being part of racing, however his path goes from here. But just glad that Dylan has been able to pull out and expected to have 100% recovery. So glad to hear that. Trying to think. We got, don't forget, Monday night, we got Race Chat Live with Craig and Chris and Craig. I always want to say backwards. I don't know why I want to say Craig and Chris. Chris and Craig, as they will get you guys caught up in the latest in the chase. And if you guys have missed Race Chat Live, that's one show you guys don't want to miss. Those guys are hilarious. We have a great time. I've been on there the last two or three weeks, and have had an opportunity to cut up, and they'd like to bust my chops about some Kyle Busch and some Danica Patrick. I guess we still, at this part of the season, still talk about Danica. That's right, I get my Dale Jr. jokes in there as well. We all know my not-so-love for Dale Jr. So, but 8 o'clock Monday night, make sure you guys check that. And, of course, Tuesday and Wednesday, right here, the 110 Nation Sports Show. And of course, next Tuesday night, we also got Izzo joining us to get you guys caught up and all the latest going on in the NHL. So looking forward to having him back. I want to make sure that I thank Fit for Life, Maxivation Digital Media, Carolina Sports Plus, I-95 Sports Network, and Mile High Radio. Without these marketing partners and or networks, we wouldn't be able to do what we do and continue to grow the way we grow. So I want to make sure that I thank them. I got to thank Ms. Lee, as she did do the legwork of getting Brandon, and I know Ms. Lee has been in contact frequently and very often with the whole Martin family. And she's kind of been relaying back to us, as well as me keeping up with Brandon and Dylan and their mom and dad. I want to say Stacy and Mark, if I say the names right. I know Stacy. I think it's Mark. Is their father's name, but I constantly, and then Kim as well, Dylan's old PR, watching and seeing her post and what she shared between all of them. I've definitely been able to keep up with everything, and of course, I did share a beer with him on his birthday. It might have been from Carolina to Florida, Facebook to Facebook, but I did my best attempt to share a beer and wish him a happy birthday. And I've reached out to Brandon as well. I don't know, you got so much going on, and when you're not directly part of the family and you're not part of the everyday or frequent friendship, you know, you try not to. Like he said, he had, 1,500 text messages in the first 24 hours. And so I did not want to, you know, I tried to be respectful, being an outsider, wanting to know and see how things were going, but at the same time, you know, wanted to make sure that those that were there and those that were more directly affected were able to, you know, be in contact. So even though we was praying and everything else, I tried to, you know, I can only imagine what that's like. I know when my brother passed in February, the messages that were coming through, and I know dealing with, basically she's been like a mom to me. I'm not talking about this on the show. It wasn't until last week that I even posted this on Facebook. But Miss CJ, I still call her Miss CJ Sports. My ex, we were together 13 years. We've been separated 5 years now. We've known each other for 18 years. We've become best friends at this point. And I still am dad to Haley, her daughter, and grandpa to her son that's 9 months old now. Her mom is basically like a mom still to me, and we still talk, and, you know, we still see each other, and all the unfortunate deaths that happened in the family, you know, I've been there for them and been involved with that, with the passing of her, my ex's grandma and grandpa and aunts, and, you know, just being there and still being part of that family, and finding out while I was in Virginia at the beginning of September that Miss CJ's, basically my mom, has cancer, and then just finding out last week it went from a thumbnail size to about 2 inches. So the tumor is growing. It's something that obviously we're watching and we're hoping now that chemo is becoming more of a regular process that it will go back in the other direction. It grew really before the whole chemo process started. So, you know, I know what it's like. What's all that going on? How it can be overwhelming and so forth. So, you know, I try to make sure that, you know, I found a time that was a little bit more calm for everybody to reach out and try to hold a conversation and everything else. And plus not being there, you really don't know and you're unsure what the latest thing to happen. And you kind of got to pick and choose. And that was like Miss Helen, one of my customers. We have a very close, tight relationship. She's my North Carolina mom. And we buy stuff for each other all the time, and she's one of those that is an everyday person that comes into my store. And when she was MIA for 3 weeks, I really, really got concerned to the point that I was checking the obituaries, and I was got to a point that we eventually rode around 3 hours around town, so we eventually found her house, and I was very worried and concerned on what I was going to be told when I knocked on that door after not seeing her for 3 weeks, after prior to that, seeing her every day at least once, if not twice a day. Unfortunately, she just bumped her knee, re-aggravated a military injury that made her where she couldn't go up downstairs, so she was kind of stuck upstairs for 3 weeks. But, you know, I know what it's like, and so I try to kind of time it right. You know, I still shared stuff and still, you know, commented and everything else, but I didn't want to add to one more of having to answer the same questions over and everything else. But speaking of which, for those that believe in the power of prayer, please send a prayer for my mom, my second mom, as she battles this and hopefully she's able to beat this. This is a very long and very testing time for that side of the family, my ex, my children, and even myself as well. It's not only kind of got to put my feelings to the side and everything else, but also got to be there and be strong for my children and be there strong for my ex, and everything else. And it's something that I've had to start preparing and working on, especially when Mike's found out. It grew last week. So just thoughts and prayers with the entire family, and to give me the strength and the knowledge to know what to say and how to handle things. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at 110 Nation. That's on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. Check out the site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest. 8 o'clock, Monday. Make sure you guys are there. Race Chat Live, Chris and Craig. Get you guys caught up and everything NASCAR. You guys have a great weekend. Till then.
Thanks for listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show with Mr. CJ Sports. You are a part of the 110 Nation, so be sure to visit the 110nation.com for everything related to the show. You can follow CJ on Twitter at 110 Nation and on Facebook at 110 Nation Sports. Until next time.